each of you here this morning. We're using our 101 books. If you would take those and turn to number 14.
Thank you.
as Brother Welton has already told us earlier, we want to be living for the King. That's our whole purpose is for being here. So, it's good talk. All right, a few announcements this morning. For those of you who weren't here at Sunday school, we started a new memory passage. It's the passage there in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, where that's the one where Jesus talks about coming to him with all our burdens. So if you'd like to start studying that, I think a lot of us know that passage and maybe you didn't know exactly where it was. So Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Following the service today, the church will be ordering pizzas and subs, and if you would like to stay and fellowship downstairs, you can certainly do that. I hope you'll join with us. And then tonight, there will be an evening service at 6:30 p.m., and we will have a Lord's Table during the service, so you'll come and be with us tonight at 6:30 p.m., And last but not least, the new 2021 calendars are in. If you have not received one yet or you need more, there are a number of them on the table next to the sound booth. If you need envelopes to mail them to friends or family members, whomever they might be, that you don't see very often or whatever, there's a good gospel message in the calendars and a lot of beautiful pictures that people will enjoy. If you need envelopes, talk to Brother Jim or Brother Sam back there, and we'll be glad to get you what you need there. I believe that's all the announcements I have at this point. Let's take our 101 books once again and turn to number 49. I feel like traveling on. Obviously did a very good job. All right. One announcement. Sunday school. If you get the Baptist bread from Brother Jim and you haven't received it, please see him, and he'll be glad to get with you and give you the Baptist bread. I personally have received many blessings from that book, and I think many of you have as well, so it's good. All right, our last song before the special and the message is number 84, Count Me.
He's fairer than lilies of rarest bloom. He's sweeter than honey from out of the comb. He's all that my wandering spirit.
Amen, brother. Would you rather have Jesus than anything this world can give you this morning? Amen. Are you happy this morning? Amen. Do you have the joy of the Lord this morning? Do you have a peace with God which passeth all understanding? Thank the Lord for that peace. Thank the Lord that He died for us. Thank the Lord that He made a way out for us. And thank the Lord that we have a reason to be alive this morning. If you can this morning, I ask you to stand for the reading of God's Word, Proverbs chapter number 12, if you can. We're going to read Proverbs chapter number 12 and verse number 8. Proverbs 12, verse number 8. Again, I just want to thank everybody for the wonderful hotel room, y'all's hospitality and love offering. It's been a blessing. I thank you for it. I know my wife and my daughter Ellie, we're grateful for what you've done for us. But Proverbs chapter 12, verse number 8, I want to look at this verse this morning for a few minutes and look at this thought about godly wisdom. What is godly wisdom? The Bible says in Proverbs 12, verse number 8, a man shall be commended according to his wisdom, but he that is of a perverse heart shall be despised. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, again, thank you again for this morning, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity and the freedom to meet. Lord, thank you for your precious word. Dear Lord, we can open it up this morning and we can read from it, Lord, and we can grow from it and help us to learn from it, to live a life that's pleasing to you. Lord, I pray you'd help us now this morning, Lord, to truly learn what your word says about what is godly wisdom. And Father, I pray you just bless everything that's said, Lord. Just lead, guide, and direct. And that you receive the glory and honor and praise. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all may be seated. Proverbs chapter number 12, verse number 8 says, a man shall be commended according to his wisdom, but he that is of a perverse heart shall be despised. So the first section here, which is where we're going to spend most of our time this morning, it talks about, it says, a man shall be commended according to his wisdom. Well, what is commended or to commend? It basically means to be praised, to represent as worthy of notice, regard, or kindness. When you commend somebody, you're speaking in favor of them. When you commend somebody, you're recommending them. So the Bible says that a man shall be commended according to what? According to his wisdom. So a man that has wisdom, he can be praised, he can be entrusted, he can be spoken of favorably, and he can be held in high regard. Kind of a little bit of different what we're looking at this morning during the Sunday school hour about the ways of a fool. Here we're going to look at this morning about the ways of a godly man, a man that has wisdom, for he is to be commended. Joseph in the Bible was commended by Pharaoh. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 41, verses 39 through 41, "And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, For as much as God hath showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, See, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt." Joseph was a wise man. Joseph had the wisdom of God, but it came at a price. For about 17 years, Joseph went through it. But he always held tight on what God, or what he was taught about the Lord. He lived for God no matter what circumstance he was in. And in the end, he was commended according to that wisdom. He goes from the prison house to second only to Pharaoh in Egypt. And he was the ruler over all the people. Why? Because Joseph had patience and he trusted God and he feared the Lord. So he was commended for that. Another individual in the Bible who was commended is David. The Bible says in 1 Samuel 16:18 through 21, "Then answered one of the servants and said, Behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning in playing, and a mighty valiant man, and a man of war, and prudent in matters, and a comely person, and the Lord is with him. Wherefore Saul sent messengers unto Jesse and said, Send me David thy son, which is with thy sheep. And Jesse took in hand an ass laden with bread and a bottle of wine and a kid and sent them by David his son unto Saul. And David came to Saul and stood before him. And he loved him greatly and he became his armor bearer. 1 Samuel 18:30 says about David, Then the princes of the Philistines went forth, and it came to pass after they went forth that David behaved himself more wisely than all the servants of Saul, so that his name was much set by." David was commended because of his wisdom and his walk with God. So I'm going to ask you this morning, do we desire the commendation or to be commended by God this morning? Listen, this morning, it doesn't matter what other people think about us. It doesn't matter what our family thinks about us. What does God think about us this morning? Where do we stand in the eyesight of the Lord Jesus Christ? Would the Lord commend you this morning? Would the Lord praise you for what you've done for him? Would the Lord entrust you with something that he would have you to do? Would you be held in regard with the Lord because of your walk with him? Is it God that you desire to commend you this morning? 2 Corinthians 10 verse 12, if you look over there real quick this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. Second Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 12. The Apostle Paul speaking here in verse number 12. Get over to myself. 2 Corinthians 12, or 10, verse number 12. Paul says here, he says, "For we dare not make ourselves of the number, or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise." It's not wise to base how you are by somebody else. That's dangerous. You can say, "Well, I'm pretty clean because compared to this person over here, do you see how filthy they are? So that makes me look pretty clean." No, we're to be compared to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we come into the light of God's Word and who the Lord Jesus Christ is, real quick you'll realize you're nothing. That your righteousness is as filthy rags when it's compared to God's righteousness. So commending yourselves among yourselves, which is what society does today, especially amongst Christians in the Bible college realm, they commend themselves among themselves and are numbered among themselves and they compare themselves among themselves, and that's where they get how they feel like, well, I've arrived because I'm better than so-and-so because I have this much schooling. Or I've been to this college and I've got my doctorate degree in this, and so that raises me up because I commend myself because I'm comparing myself amongst those that are around me. And I find satisfaction by what I've attained because I'm looking at others rather than what God thinks of me. What does God think of me this morning? What does God think of you this morning? It matters not what I think of you. I could think, if I get to know you, I could think you're a pretty good person. But you can fool me. We're not fooling God. And this morning, I want God's commendation towards me and not what men think of me. Not that, brethren, you get a right balance with this thing. Not that you don't care what people think of you. We're not to go out here and just offend everybody. I care what my neighbor thinks of me. I hope my neighbor thinks that I'm a good Christian individual. I hope they think that. We ought to, there's a right balance with that. But if I'm getting my satisfaction and getting lifted up with pride because I'm comparing myself amongst others, now that's wrong. I want God's commendation. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, look down at verse number 17. Look what Paul says. But he that glorieth, what are we to glory in? But he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. Again, it does not matter what others think. Look, whoever the pastor is, he ought not to think what other pastors think. Or what other brethren think. He ought to care. He ought to be concerned about this church right here. I'm not worried about what others say about me. If I'm doing what I know God would have me to do, say what you need to say. I know where I'm at with God. And I'm walking with God. And we ought to have that same mindset. But too many people today are swayed by what other people think of them. Stop being concerned about what others think and be more concerned about what God thinks. Amen. What does God think? What does God want? How does God want your life to go? But too many people are afraid to take that step. Because when you take that step, you're stepping out in a step of faith. And you might not get the approval of everybody around you. The gospel can be an offense. Look over at John chapter number 3, verse number 16. John 3:16. John chapter 3, verse number 16. John 3:16. Now everybody in this church probably knows John 3:16. Most people in America used to know what John 3:16 is, but very few people go beyond John 3:16. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Now this is Jesus Christ talking to Nicodemus because he came to him at night. And again, we're not going to go through verses 1 through 15, but verse number 16, he says to Nicodemus, he says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Right? And that's a true verse in the Bible. The Bible says that if you believe, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he accomplished on that cross and you've yielded to him, you can be saved because you believe what he's done. But a lot of people today, they believe, but they have believed in vain. You see, brethren, today the Bible says in the book of James that the devil believes that there is one God. So the devil also believes in God. And the Bible says that the devil trembles at God. Most people today who say that they believe in God, or if you ask them if they're saved, yes, I believe in God, they don't tremble at God nor his word. And Isaiah chapter 66 talks about them that tremble at his word. You see, in true belief, there's going to be a fear of God because you know how holy he is. And everybody likes this to stop at John 3:16. But look at verse number 17. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That's love. That's nice. God didn't send Jesus Christ the first time here to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Jesus Christ came the first time as a lamb. The second time he's coming as a lion. But guess what you can do with a lamb? You can take advantage of it. And you ain't nobody in here scared of no lamb. Look, you bring a lamb in here, we put it right here in front of this pulpit, ain't nobody going to be screaming and yelling, "Ah, get out of here, there's a lamb in here, it's going to scare me." No, you bring a lion in here, we're going to see who's fastest. We're going to see who's the fastest in here. Last person, I feel bad for you. But no, you got a lion in here. Look, if they released the lion in here, we'd all be scared. We release a lamb in here, ain't nobody going to be scared. There's no self-defense for a lamb. A lamb doesn't have teeth and fangs that it's going to bite you. A lamb doesn't have claws to where it's going to jump on top of you. A lamb doesn't have a tail that it can hit you with. There's nothing fearful about a lamb. But there is something to be fearful about a lion. So a lamb, you can take advantage of a lamb. You can get over on a lamb. You can fool a lamb. But you ain't going to fool no lion. So a lot of people take advantage of it. Now look at verse number 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light. Why? Why, Lord? Why do men love darkness rather than light? Because their deeds are evil. Because their deeds were evil. Verse 20, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Have you come to the light this morning? I'm not asking you this morning if you believed. I'm asking you this morning if you've come to the light. Because when you truly believe, you've truly come to the light. And what does the light show? The Bible says in Psalm 119, verse number 130, the entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. When you open up this book, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. When you open up this book, it's like God taking out a spotlight and shining right down on you. What you going to do with that light when God shines it on you? Most people are going to run. You leave a building go for a while, and then all of a sudden you come in the middle of the night. I know down in South Carolina, there's a lot of cockroaches and palmetto bugs. You flip that light on, whoosh, they go everywhere. Why? Because you turn the light on. They were just fine in the darkness. As soon as you flip that light on, all the bugs start running. Most people don't want to come to the light. They'll believe all day long. But now don't shine no light on me. It's not my light, God's light. They don't come to the light. And not only do they not come to the light, they hate it. Why? Because it shows that their deeds need to be reproved. Remember what we looked at in Sunday school? That commandment is a light, and that commandment is light, and law is a lamp, and the reproofs of life are the reproofs of God are the way of life. Proverbs 6. I'm going to mess the quote up, so I'm just going to read it from the Bible, because for whatever reason I can't remember it right now. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. See? See how all links together? See how this book just all links together? The commandment is a lamp and the law is light and reproofs of instruction. Oh, I don't want to come to light because if I come to light, it's going to make me feel uncomfortable. Well, good. That's a good thing if you're uncomfortable. Because guess who then can give you the comfort? God. You see, you're running away from the very thing that can help you. But people don't see that. The light makes you uncomfortable, and rightly so, but it also brings comfort because there's one who can take care of that sin that you're carrying on your back. That burden on your back, your conscience, there's one that can cleanse it. There's one that can wash it away and make it right with God in heaven, and that's Lord Jesus Christ. But most men won't come to the light. So a man is commended according to his wisdom. Take your Bible and look at Job chapter number 28. Job chapter 28. Job talks about wisdom in chapter 28. I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but the whole chapter is dealing about where can wisdom be found. Job 28, verse 20, he says, "Whence then cometh wisdom, and where is the place of understanding?" Job's asking that question. And if you jump down to Job 28, 28, you get the answer. Okay? And unto man he said, "Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding." So remember, in Proverbs, it talks about a wise man will be commended, or he'll be commended according to his wisdom. Well, what is wisdom? Wisdom, the Bible gives us a definition here in Job 28:28. Wisdom is the fear of the Lord. And to depart from evil is understanding. One thing I love about my Bible is that it often defines itself. So people might be saying, well, what is the fear of the Lord? Wisdom's the fear of the Lord. So what's the fear of the Lord? Proverbs 8, verse number 13 gives you the definition of the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 8, look at verse number 13. It links right up with Job 28:28. And it gives you the definition of what is the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 8:13. And again, the whole, we're not, for the sake of time, Proverbs 8 is all about wisdom. But verse number 13 says this, to fear the Lord is to hate evil. So if we want wisdom this morning to be commended by God, we have to have a fear of the Lord and we need to hate evil. And the first thing it says about evil is pride. Arrogancy, the evil way, and the forward mouth, wisdom says it hates. A lifted up spirit of pride and of arrogancy, wisdom says, no, I have no dealings with that. Wisdom says, I have no dealings. She says, I have no dealings with those that are prideful. A true individual that has wisdom will be an individual that shows humility and the fear of the Lord. The Bible says in Psalm 111 verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. Take your Bible and look at Deuteronomy chapter number 4. Moses talking to the children of Israel, and he deals with them about wisdom. Deuteronomy chapter number 4, verse number 1. Deuteronomy 4, verse number 1. Deuteronomy 4, verse number 1 says, now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them that ye may live, and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal Peor. For all the men that follow Baal Peor, the Lord thy God hath destroyed them from among you. But ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you this day. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither ye go to possess it. Look what he says in verse 6 now. Keep therefore and do them. For this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as this law which I set before you this day? Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. You see, Moses telling him, he says, listen, wisdom and understanding is found in keeping God's commandments, God's laws, God's statutes, there in the Old Testament. But what about in the New Testament? We're not underneath the law of God as concerning the Old Testament. It's now written in our heart, the Bible says. And I believe as Christians, we're held to an even higher standard of what they had in the law. We're held to an even higher standard than what Moses was telling the children of Israel in the law. But look what it does. It causes those that are around you. What Moses is telling the children of Israel is like, if you do what God would have you to do, and you be obedient to his commandment and his word, other nations are going to take note of it. They're going to see that difference, and it's going to cause them the question of, why are you so great a nation? It's because of the Lord. And you can apply that to your own life and to your own family, to where others will look at you and say, why are you the way you are? And you can say, it's not me, but it's what God has done in my life. The Lord Jesus Christ changed me. I couldn't do it on my own, but he changed me, and now I have the power to live for him because of what his word says. But most Christians don't live in the light of that, because there's a cost, there's a price tag to it. For you're bought with a price, and you're not your own. When we get saved, brethren, we're not our own no more. We've been bought with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is now his life to be lived through us. But most Christians aren't willing to go to the cross. They're not willing to go to what the Word of God says, and that's exactly what happened with the children of Israel. He says in verse 9, only take heed. Take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently. You can say that for your Christian walk. Take heed to yourself and keep your walk diligently so that you don't bring upon the Lord a bad testimony. Wisdom. What is the fear of the Lord? It's wisdom. And it's to walk away from evil, to shun evil, to hate pride, to hate arrogancy, and to walk humbly with our God. It's important that we teach to fear the Lord to our children. The Bible says in Psalm 34:11, come ye children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. One thing I've learned this is that it can't just be words. If you're dealing with kids or if you're dealing with family members, talk is cheap. Well, you ought to fear God, but your life don't show it. You're saying the right things, but you're not living what you say. Let us not be a hypocrite. Number two, the fear of the Lord prolongeth days. When you have a fear of God, you'll be careful with what you do and you associate with. Proverbs 10:27 says, the fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. Proverbs 14:27 says, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. Number three, the fear of the Lord will produce cleanliness in our lives. Look at Psalm 19, verse number 9. Psalm 19, verse number 9. When you have a proper fear of God, it should and ought to produce a clean living life. Proverbs 19, 9. Well, look at verse number 7. Proverbs 19, verse number 7. The Bible says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Verse number 8, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. And then verse number 9, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Ephesians 5:26 says that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Titus 3:5 says about the same thing, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Have you been washed clean of your sins? Have you been renewed and regenerated by the Holy Ghost of God to where now you can spend time in the Word and it'll wash you and keep you clean in your Christian walk? How much time you spend in the Bible? I know the preaching I do and the preaching I've come from, Pastor Doss down there in Charleston, South Carolina, he goes through a lot of Bible. Well, it's the Bible what we need. The Scripture will keep us clean. Spend time in the Word of God. Spend time in prayer. Spend time walking with God. And you'll live a clean and holy life that'll be pleasing to Him. So last thing I want to look at this morning. How then can the fear of the Lord be obtained? If you desire wisdom this morning and desire condemnation or a commending that comes from God, how can this be obtained? Look at Proverbs chapter number 2. Proverbs 2 verse number 1. Now, I want to look at Proverbs 2, verses 1 through 9, in the light of the Lord Jesus Christ being wisdom. All right? In the light of the Lord Jesus Christ being wisdom. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, "But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption." Jesus Christ is made, according to Corinthians, he's made unto us wisdom. So how can this be obtained? Look at Proverbs 2, verse number 1. "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thy ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and search for her as for hid treasure, then," when you do these things, "then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path." When and how can you get wisdom? How can you get to fear the Lord? When you receive his words. Number one, when you receive his words, you're on the right track. But what you got to do next is you got to hide them. Why do you hide something? Because somebody's going to try to come and steal it. What does the Bible say in John? It talks about the devil, that he's a thief. He is a thief. And the enemy will do anything he can to try to steal the words of God, of wisdom and knowledge that God is trying to give you. He'll try to steal them from your mind. You might get something this morning. You might have gotten something last week from a preacher, or you might have got something from your own Bible reading. Take it and hide it. Once you receive it, now hide it, because there's an enemy of your soul that's going to come in and try to steal it away and get your mind and heart on something else. The Bible says receive it and then hide it. And then do what once you have it hidden? Incline and apply yourself to what God showed you. Have an inclination to receive what God's trying to give you and then apply it. It does no good to receive it, to hide it, to be inclined to it, but yet not apply it. A lot of people don't apply it. They know what's right. They know what they need to do for God, but they never apply it. Therefore, they never have a right fear of God and aren't completely walking in wisdom before their Savior. Verses 3 and 4 ought to be our heart attitude. We ought to cry and lift up our voices, and we ought to seek and search for it as for hid treasure. Now look here. Let's say we take some young people from this community, from this street right here, a bunch of teenagers or whatnot, even some young adults, and we brought them in this church building. We stood out there and we said, "Listen, I have a little medicine bottle here, but I've emptied it out. But inside this little medicine bottle, I've put $10,000 cash rolled up inside of it. And I brought it into this church building, and I hid it somewhere in here." And you allow them to come in from the community and say, "Listen, if you find that money and you get it to that front door over there, you get to keep it." Guess what everybody would be doing? They would tear this place apart trying to find that money. If someone told me that and put me into a room or a building and said, "Listen, Chris, if you find it, you get to keep it." Guess what? I wouldn't just be coming in here and just being like, No, I'd be looking everywhere. I'd be looking in the seats. I'd be tearing things apart. Because I could use $10,000. I don't know about you, but I could use that money. Right? We would show great interest trying to find that money. With the same interest and earnestness that we would try to find that money is the same earnestness and interest we ought to find the things and the treasures God has hidden in his word. Cry out to God, lift up your voice, seek for and search for it like you would search for hid treasure. That ought to be your desire. Or is it like, "Oh, well, yeah, that's the Bible. Yeah, I read my two verses this morning, so now I'm good to go through the day." No, you're not good to go through the day. Brethren, think about this. This is our spiritual food. Let's just say this week, every day, the only thing you got to eat was two slices of white bread and a little bit of water. By the end of this week, you'd be pretty weak. I would say probably within the first day or two, you'd start feeling it. Because we got to feed our physical self to keep ourselves going, and rightfully so. But how much do we feed ourselves spiritually? You say, "Brother Chris, I got a lot of struggles, a lot of things I'm battling." Well, how much are you eating? Are you spending time in the Word? Well, no, I ain't spending that much. Have you read your Bibles today? Well, no. Have you prayed today? Well, no. Well, how do you expect to get any victory? You're pretty weak right now. You couldn't beat off a sand flea because you're weak. You need to spend time in God's Word. This is where we get our strength. This is where we get our encouragement. This is where we get our comfort. And if we neglect the Word of God, how can we expect to have any walk with God? This is our strength. Are you just eating two slices of white bread? Devotionals are good. I'm all for devotionals. I read devotional every morning, but that's not my bread. You understand? Look, a lot of Christians, I like that Baptist bread. And it's wonderful. I read some of Charles Spurgeon's devotionals and they're outstanding, encouraging. But that's not what I feed on completely. Brethren, we need the Word of God. Not saying that those don't have the Word of God in it, but that's like eating a little sandwich. You ain't just going to eat a little sandwich at 8 o'clock in the morning and not eat nothing the rest of the day. You're going to get hungry. Let God work in your life. Open up the Bible, read it through from the front page to the back page at least once a year. Amen. At least once. One thing I guarantee you will not regret when you're standing before God someday is the time you've spent in His Word. You won't regret that, but you will regret the time you didn't. You're like, oh Lord, I wish I would have spent more time in Your Word. Lord, I wish I would have spent more time praying. Lord, I wish I would have spent more time walking with You and not doing what I want to do, but what You would have me to do. We need to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord, Savior, Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 3:18 talks about that. Jesus Christ, as I said earlier, has made unto us wisdom in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 30. I want to close with these verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 10. Paul says here, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 10, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than it is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If a man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If a man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? What was the verse we started out with this morning? It says, a man shall be commended according to his wisdom, but he that is of a perverse heart shall be despised. A man shall be commended according to his wisdom. I don't know about you this morning, but my prayer, my desire before God is that someday that I've built upon the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ, gold, silver, and precious stones, and not wood, hay, stubble. That's one of my fears. I do not want to stand before God someday, before His throne there, the great judge, or the judgment seat of Christ. And there, what I've done here on earth is laid up there before the Lord, and it just goes up in flames and smoke. And in there, all that's left is just, it was just wood, hay, and stubble. No, my prayer, my aim is to try to live for God that someday when I stand before Him, when that fire tries to work, gold, silver, and precious stones come forth, not for me, but for Him. You see, I'm not looking at to have the gold, precious stones, and for me, there. No, I want to give it to Him because He's worthy. He's worthy of it all. And as much as I could try to lay up for Him in heaven, I want to do it now to where when I get there, I don't regret the life that I've lived. It's serious, brethren. It's real serious. We don't know how much longer we have. Right. This world is going crazy real quick. Let us spend every moment that we have to glorify our King. Amen. Our King. He's our King. He's my King. I want to glorify my King with my heart, soul, mind, and strength, and everything that I have may bring glory and honor to Him. Amen. In eternity. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You for this time this morning. Lord, it ain't very long, dear God, but Lord, there's a lot there. Father, I pray You'd help me, dear God. Lord, I pray You'd help me, Lord. It's easy to say. It's easy to talk. It's easy just to say these things, Father, but to put them into practice. Lord, when a rubber meets the road, dear God, to get out there and live it in front of this world, dear God, how quickly we lose our patience. Lord, I pray You forgive me through this week, Lord, at times I've lost my patience, dear God. Lord, at times I've complained and murmured, dear Lord, when You've been so good to me. God, my desire for these brethren this week, Lord, that we would all, Lord, lay up gold, silver, and precious stones for You so that someday, Lord, we can cast them at Your feet, Lord, because You're worthy of it and You are our King. God, help us to glorify You, Lord. The times that we fall down short, dear God, the times we feel like giving up, the times, Lord, where the enemy floods in and we get depressed and we just feel like giving up and what's the use, dear God, help us to turn to Your word and help us to turn to You in prayer, Lord, and get back up off the ground, Lord, and continue to fight for You. So You call us home. And Lord, we ask this now all in the Lord Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Amen, brethren.
Let's take our 101 books and turn to the very last song, 101. come back tonight and hear another one, Lord willing. We never know. The Lord could come in between services. I'd be okay with that. How about you?
Amen.
All right. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the instruction in it. Many times we wonder why we don't know what your will is for us. And we forget that we aren't doing your will with the knowledge we have already. And therefore you choose not to tell us anything else. Help us to do what we're supposed to do with what we already know. And then, if we need extra guidance, you have promised to provide it. Pray that you would help us to take heed to your word and to live the way that we should live. Thank you for the messages we heard today. Thank you for the Weltons being willing to come and be with us. We thank you now for our time of fellowship that we'll be having in just a few moments. Pray that you would receive the honor and glory for even that time. We do not want to do anything that would bring harm to the cause of Christ. Dismiss us now with your blessing. We pray that if you should tarry, that we would all be back tonight, ready to hear more from you and to remember what the Lord Jesus has done for each one of us. Thank you now, in Jesus' name. Amen.